This is Murder Bucket. Good evening, Murder Bucket family, and welcome back to Tuesday. Tonight, we have another installment in our Last Supper series, and we will be discussing the life and crimes of Charles Peace. Before we get started tonight, let's go ahead and do our week/weekend recap. A couple of weekends ago, my husband and I took our daughter to one of the malls in our area because they have, like, this store or like interactive area at this mall where they do different meet and greets and interactive events for children. So that particular weekend, they had a meet and greet for a couple of the characters of the cartoon Bluey. And of course, our four-year-old is absolutely obsessed with Bluey. She was dressed in all things Bluey, and when I tell you it was literally all things, it was her sunglasses, her shirt, her sweatshirt, her pants, her shoes, her underwear, and her socks. This girl is obsessed. So they did like a super simple like dance mode game, and then they played the freezing statues and did a couple other interactive things. And then that is when Bluey and Bingo actually came out and we got pictures with them. Now, I do see that on their website, they have a lot of other interactive things that you can do. You can buy tickets for. Like that particular weekend, they had another one that was like a big Encanto experience where I think this one was like an hour and a half and you can go all the way through the casita and you can open up all of the secret doors. So there were lots and lots of kids there that were dressed up in all Encanto gear. Then there were kids that were in our group that were all dressed up in Bluey and Bingo gear. And it was just the cutest thing. This past weekend, we went on a hike with several of our friends to an area called Calvert Cliffs. And that is probably about an hour away from where we live currently. And apparently in this area, you can find a lot of shark teeth on the beach that's out there. We didn't find any particularly this time, but of course we're going to go back because it was extremely pretty and I absolutely loved it. And then the last thing that we did was we helped a friend move after the hike. He moved out of the house that he was currently in to another house that he bought a little ways away from where we are now. It used to be super convenient to get to the new house that he's bought, but because of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsing in March, he now has to take the long way around Baltimore, so it takes him a little bit longer to get back into our area and like where he does like a lot of his hangout and goes to church and he comes over to our house and stuff. But I am really happy for him. It's a cute little house. It's close to the water, and this is going to be a great step in his life. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into tonight's episode. We are talking about Charles Peace. Charles Peace was born on May 14th, 1832 in Darnall, Sheffield, England. He was the youngest son of John and Jane Peace. His father was a shoemaker. Articles online do not state what his mother did for a living, but I'm assuming since it is this time period that she was probably a stay-at-home mother. Charles attended school in Pitsmoor and Dennington before leaving to become an apprentice at Mill Sands in Sheffield. At the age of 14, he suffered an injury at the steel rolling mill that left him permanently crippled. At the age of 22, he was then arrested and found guilty of several burglaries. He was sentenced to 4 years of penal servitude. According to Wikipedia.com, penile servitude is a term of various kinds of forced labor that prisoners are required to perform, typically manual labor. It may be hard or light depending on the context. Fast forward several years, and at the age of 22, Charles was arrested and found guilty of several burglaries. He was sentenced to 4 years of penal servitude. According to Wikipedia.com, penal servitude is a term for various kinds of forced labor that prisoners are required to perform, typically manual labor. It may be hard or light depending on the context. At the age of 27, he married widow Hannah Ward and soon after their nuptials, he committed a major burglary in Manchester, where he nearly killed a police officer who was there to arrest him. He was found guilty of several burglaries and sentenced to 6 years of penal servitude. After he was released, Charles attempted to keep his head down and not get into trouble by concentrating on his picture framing business. He gave this up to work on the Northeastern Railway, where he ended up being fired for never showing up. After this, he moved back to Darnall and became friends with civil engineer Dyson. We'll learn more about their friendship in just a moment. This is where things start to fall apart for Charles. In Whalley Range, Manchester, around midnight on August 1st, 1876, Charles was seen by two police officers entering the grounds of a house. He was intercepted by them as he was attempting to escape. An altercation occurred and Charles shot his revolver toward them, but deliberately missed them. When one of the officers drew their club, Charles shot his revolver again, but this time he hit Officer Nicholas Cock and he died the very next day. Charles was able to escape. It turns out that because it was so dark outside, officers were unable to identify the correct suspect and arrested two brothers, John and William Hayborn, and charged them with killing. It turns out that because it was so dark outside, officers were unable to identify the correct suspect and arrested two brothers, John and William Hayborn, and charged them with killing Officer Cock. John was later acquitted for lack of evidence, but William was sentenced to death. His sentence was later reduced to penal servitude for life. Charles made a point to attend William's trial just to be certain that he wasn't a suspect before returning to Darnall. Here's where things got even worse. While Charles and Dyson were friends, Charles ended up becoming very close friends with Dyson's wife and later became obsessed. In June of 1876, Dyson showed up at Charles's house and threw a card at him in the garden that read this: "Charles Peace is requested not to interfere with my family." Charles did not listen to Dyson's request and instead approached his wife on July 1st and threatened to blow her brains out as well as her husband's. In order to protect themselves, Dyson and his wife moved to the suburb of Banner Cross. The very first day in their new home, Charles found them and accosted Dyson's wife. He stated this: "You see, I am here to annoy you, and I'll annoy you wherever you go." On the evening of November 29th, Charles watched Dyson's wife leave her house by the back door and go near an outhouse. He confronted her with his revolver and shouted, "Speak or I'll fire!" In hopes of not getting hurt or killed, she went back into the outhouse, but because Charles was so loud, Dyson came outside to see what the commotion was. This startled Charles and forced him to run. Dyson saw him and followed. Charles fired his revolver twice. The first shot missed him, but the second hit him in the temple and instantly killed him. As Dyson's wife screamed, "Murder!" Charles escaped back to his own wife. The police issued a wanted poster and offered £100 for any information on his whereabouts or his capture. Charles realized the police were looking for him, so he decided to change his appearance and concealed his missing finger with an entire arm prosthetic. He also kept moving to try and avoid any detection from the police. While Charles was on the run, he met Sue Thompson and began to have an affair with her, but she ended up telling the police where he could be found because she wanted the £100. When police went to the location that she provided, they didn't find him, so she wasn't awarded the money. When Charles learned that she had betrayed him, he immediately fled to London. He then sent for his wife and son. Charles wasn't able to keep his head down this time. On October 10, 1878, around 2 a.m., while Officer Robinson was on patrol, he noticed a light appear in a window of a house in St. John's Park. He approached the house and rang the bell. Charles attempted to escape through the garden, shooting at Officer Robinson. Even though he was shot through the arm, he was able to capture Charles and place him under arrest. Charles was arrested and held for a week. During this time, he refused to provide his name, but did write a letter to a business colleague who decided to cooperate with the police and reveal that its author was Charles, writing under his pseudonym John Ward. Under this name, he was tried and convicted for burglary and attempted murder of Officer Robinson. He was sentenced to penal servitude for life. While serving his sentence at Pentonville Prison, he was taken to Sheffield to be tried for the murder of Dyson. The trial ended up being adjourned for 8 days, and while on the way back to London, Charles jumped from the train near Kempton Park and was found unconscious beside the tracks. Another article states that he attempted to jump from the train but was restrained by the warden. I am unable to determine which account of the event was actually true. A new trial was then set for February 4, 1879. During the trial, Dyson's wife told the jury that her husband never attacked Charles and that she was the only witness to the shooting. Luckily, there was no one to contradict her statement. She did admit that she and Charles had been seen together on several occasions and that her husband objected to their friendship. Several witnesses came forward and claimed to have seen Charles in the neighborhood on the night of the murder. A laborer named Brasington testified that Charles accosted him in the street while walking toward Dyson's home. Charles's revolver was taken from him at his arrest, and it was brought into the trial as evidence. The prosecution was able to show that the rifling of the bullet extracted from Dyson's head was the same as the bullet fired from the revolver. Justice Lopes stated at the end of the trial that no struggle had taken place before the murder and sent the jury away to deliberate. Barely 10 minutes after they were sent away, the jury returned with a verdict. Charles was found guilty of murder, and Justice Lopes passed a sentence of death to be carried out on February 25th. After receiving his death sentence, Charles made a full confession to the murder of Officer Cock in order to exonerate William Heybrun, who was later given a free pardon and compensated £800. Charles continued to insist that Dyson's wife was his mistress, but she strongly denied this, calling him a demon beyond the power of even a Shakespeare to paint, who persecuted her with his actions. If anyone knows what that means, please let me know in the comments on social media. On the day before Charles was executed, he was visited with his family for the very last time. They all stated that he seemed in good spirits, and when they were leaving, he was heavily crying. So what was Charles Peace's last meal? He asked for the following: eggs and salty bacon. I am 100% down for this last meal. I could eat an entire plate of eggs and bacon. I personally enjoy my eggs over easy. Let me know how you like to eat your eggs. Here's a funny story for you. When I was really little, my grandmother would make over easy eggs and smash them with a fork. She always called them smashed eggs. So when my husband and I were first married, we went to a breakfast place, and when the waiter asked how I wanted my eggs cooked, I asked for smashed. The waiter gave me the weirdest look, and my husband jumped in and told the waiter that I wanted over easy eggs. I was 100% dead set on getting these smashed eggs and thought that's what they were called. Lo and behold, they were in fact over easy eggs that were smashed with a fork. Thanks, Grandma. On February 25th, 1879, Charles was escorted on the death walk by the prison chaplain, who read aloud the consolations of religion about the fires of hell. During this walk, Charles shouted, "Sir, I believed what you and the Church of God say that you believe. Even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it, if need be, on hands and knees, and think it were worthwhile living, just to save one soul from an eternal hell like that." As the white sheet was attempted to be placed over Charles's head, he asked for a glass of water, which was denied. These were his last words: "My last thoughts are for children and their mother, a wonderful woman. They mustn't worry about me. I know where I am going. I am going to heaven." A noose was placed around his neck and he was dropped 9 feet. Many state that his death was immediate. A black flag was raised to show the small crowd outside of the prison that the execution had taken place. Charles's body was left hanging for more than an hour before it was taken down, and sent for an inquest that took place at 11 a.m. After they formally declared Charles Peace dead, he was buried on the grounds of the prison. And that concludes tonight's episode in our Last Supper series regarding Charles Peace. Please take a moment before you go to check out this promo from my friends at the Evidence Locker podcast.
The Evidence Locker is a weekly podcast about international true crime. Made by hardcore true crime fans, it's somewhat grungy. Join us as we explore the dark corners of the globe. We've covered cases from Sweden, Brazil, Australia, and the US, to mention a few. Find us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening. Catch us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all your Murder Bucket updates.